This is Jay Sekulow. According to news reports, Democratic support for impeachment slipping.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Interesting piece in the Washington Post and something we've been talking about here internally, and that is, let me read you the headline. House Democrats brace for some defections among moderates on the impeachment of the president. Now, that's coming. Here are the reports. The reports were initially there were two members, Democratic members of the House, that were not going to vote in favor of impeachment. Then all of a sudden that became six. Then there's someone saying it could be 10 to 12. So what's happening is, as these proceedings are moving forward, time is not on the Democrat side, because the longer this goes, it appears that the moderate members within the Democratic Party are less inclined to vote for impeachment. And the idea then that you have bipartisan opposition would be pretty significant.
Well, there's going to be bipartisan opposition. I said on a radio interview this morning, there's the one bipartisan part about this entire impeachment is that there will be House Democrats voting against the impeachment of Donald Trump along with Republicans, and House and Senate Democrats voting against the impeachment of Donald Trump along with Senate Republicans. The only votes for impeachment will come from Democrats, but the bipartisan action will be Republicans and Democrats together.
Here's Jerry Nadler in 1998 during the Clinton impeachment.
There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment substantially supported by one of our major political parties and largely opposed by the other.
Then that's exactly what's happening right now.
They're headed to a very narrow impeachment. Look, we don't have to go through all the numbers right now, but they can only afford to lose 18 members of their party and still impeach the president. Jay, you mentioned two Democrats that have already announced or already said they oppose it. It's Colin Peterson and Jeff Van Drew. I got to tell you, though, I think they are the lucky ones here. They announced it initially, so they're not going to get squeezed by Speaker Pelosi quite to the extent of the others. Jay, I think if every member of the House voted their conscience, I don't think there's any chance that the president would be impeached. There's going to be a lot of pressure on those 31 Democrats who are in districts that supported Donald Trump. And look, the more time that goes by, the more of these Democrats are going to defect. That's a big, big reason, Jay, that they're rushing this vote.
So that was the Washington Post. The Wall Street Journal has an op-ed, Harry, that basically says the incredible and shrinking impeachment.
Absolutely. So the impeachment effort is simply a sophisticated form of resistance that has been aided and abetted by Adam Schiff, who hired a friend of the whistleblower one day after the July 25th phone call, and whose staff met with the whistleblower while Adam Schiff lied about it. This is the same Adam Schiff who claimed that the Steele dossier was not a crucial component of the FISA warrant issued against Carter Page and the Trump campaign. Testimony yesterday by the inspector general shows beyond question that Adam Schiff was not telling the truth. Now Adam Schiff has delivered a bogus impeachment report, which is driven by laziness, the need for speed, and hatred of Trump voters.
Okay, so here's the question, Jordan. As it slips, and you're what Van just said also, you could be within a 4 or 5 vote margin of this thing passing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're heading that way.
Yeah.
I mean, so if they're the double digits, then they're within 8 of not being able to pass this. So, because double digits means at least 10. So that is a very thin margin when you're talking about impeaching the president of the United States. And you have to wonder then if you're Nancy Pelosi. I can't imagine she will go into this vote. She says she's not whipping it. So she's going to go in blindly to this vote. That seems very dangerous, Stan. There's what, 31 of these in Trump majority districts?
31, Jordan. But I can tell you why she's not whipping it. Because if she whips it and the count comes up short, that will leak, and that would be devastating for her. That's why she's not whipping it.
I mean, they've dug themselves into a mess.
Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Thank you, radical left, who's taken over the Democrat Party. We appreciate it.
All right. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ.
Yes, ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. We've got a matching challenge our month of December. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Welcome back. So now we're talking about Democratic fallout, and that is there are reports that anywhere from 2 to 12 Democrats may end up not voting for impeachment. So let's go. Let's start with that conversation. So I'm going to start with Jordan, and I'm going to go to Harry and then Than, because I want everybody's view on this. To me, what that says, obviously, is not bipartisan. It counteracts what Jerry Nadler said earlier, but it also creates a real problem.
It does, because they cannot lose. If they lose 18, impeachment fails. So, I mean, if you're getting close to 12,
yeah,
a pile-on can start happening. The moderates start saying, you know what? If these 12 are going to vote no, I got to vote no also, because I'm going to get killed in my district if I don't. So, I mean, I think, like, listen, if it's 3, 4, 5, it's significant. Because again, it shows there was bipartisan opposition to this, and no Republican crossing over, which is huge, and it shows just how partisan it is from the Democrats and the left of, side of the Democrat Party. But if that number gets above 10, I'm telling you, when Than talks about those 31 districts, and you only got to pick off 18 of those who get real nervous. I mean, if they see 12 of their colleagues doing it, I could see 6 more doing it too. Because they don't care that much about Nancy Pelosi if she's about to have a failed vote on impeachment.
Right.
She's not so threatening anymore.
So, Harry, you're looking at a situation.
She probably have to step down as Speaker, I think.
Well, if it failed, yes.
Yeah.
You're looking now at an impeachment passing, if it does, in the narrowest of margins. They caught on 2 charges that neither one have reached any level of criminality. And as the Wall Street Journal called it, the incredible shrieking impeachment. But the political ramifications of this are pretty staggering.
Absolutely. So essentially, the Democrats have constructed a fictional claim which is inconsistent with the Constitution. And so Democrats, particularly in swing districts, increasingly believe that impeachment helps the president and hurts them. And so they have become much more cautious. And so I think many of them would like to have a do-over with respect to their vote, with respect to launching the initial impeachment inquiry in the first place. So now they will be torn because they will be attacked by the progressives on the left if they don't vote for impeachment. They will be attacked on the middle and by centrists if they do vote in favor of impeachment. And so I'm hearing that many individuals in swing districts are preparing to support a milder measure, perhaps a censure motion, but that's unlikely to go anywhere. But it should prove interesting with respect to the final vote, which may indeed be in doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's, I'm just thinking, if you, could you imagine that they pass impeachment with a margin of 7 or 10?
Oh, I mean, that would be so damaging to Democrats. I mean, and then to the Senate trial itself.
Think about
would
that.
Make the Senate trial, I mean, why it wouldn't even, happen. But
why are you doing it?
But it would be like,
you have to.
I mean, you know, again, that many Democrats didn't buy into this phony articles of abusive power. I mean, like they said, you know, where's the bribery? Where's the extortion? Where's the Russia collusion? Where's the conspiracy? Where's the
obstruction of justice?
Where's the emoluments? Where's all this stuff? Where's obstruction of justice, not obstruction of Congress? Where's all that? And they say, honey, we shrunk the impeachment.
Yeah, honey, they shrunk it. So, Than, you've been talking to members, staff on the Hill, even today and yesterday. I'm looking at a situation. Let's say if you pull off 6 defections, 6 to 8, say 6, just for simple math, that means this thing passes by the thinnest margins. I mean, the room for error here is not much.
Not at all, Jay. And let me describe for you exactly how that could happen. I mean, Jordan talked about 31 districts where Donald Trump was elected by the people who put these members in those seats. But, Jay, not all of those are swing districts. I mean, 8 of them are districts that President Trump won by 10% or more. Those are not swing districts. Those are Donald Trump districts through and through. So if those 8 members vote against impeachment, by the way, that doesn't include Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey. He has a close district. So that's 9 right there. If the entire universe of defections, Jay, is only those 9, that's half of what you need, and you would pass impeachment by a margin of single digits, 9 seats. I got to tell you, even if that happened, Jordan talked about maybe Speaker Pelosi would lose her speakership if this vote failed. If it passes with 9 districts, with 9 votes, she's not very comfortable even on that margin.
I'll tell you, my view of this is, I'll give you my view of this. I think it shows the absurd nature of the impeachment articles themselves. The abuse of power is ridiculous. The obstruction of Congress is absurd. President is exercising constitutionally protected rights as the president under Article 2. If you want to challenge those, and those are being challenged, you do that in court, and a court will make a determination. But going to court to protect your constitutional rights as president is not obstruction of Congress. It's exactly the way the Constitution's set up, with 3 co-equal branches of government and separation of powers. And at the same time, we've got the Supreme Court that as early as tomorrow, probably be in the afternoon, telling us whether they're going to take those cases that I brought up, that our team has brought up, to the Supreme Court of the United States. But, you know, this is thin. This is going over to the United States Senate. Unbelievably thin.
So thin that I think a lot of those Democrat senators who are much more moderate, I think of the Joe Manchins, I think of the Doug Jones, I think there's more than that, will look at this and think that unless they're just from a state, like those Montana, North Dakota Democrats, those, you know, out West Democrats, Western Democrats, are going to look and say, you know, my constituents, they put up with me being a Democrat because I play a pretty moderate vote on most things that they care about. If I do this, they may no longer put up with me. And if
that's what you think the political consequence of this is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The political consequence is for the barely hanging on moderate Democrats that exist anymore. And there's more of them in the Senate than there are in the House.
Yeah, I think you could see a peel off in the Senate of 5 to 6, too, by the way. I mean, maybe not 6, but 5. Ratcliffe raised an issue of this because one of the comments we got in, and by the way, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110, and comments already coming on Facebook. What happened to the whistleblowers, what Tim asked? The interesting question, here's Representative Ratcliffe.
The president didn't get caught. The whistleblower got caught. The whistleblower made false statements. The whistleblower got caught with Chairman Schiff. Remember Chairman Schiff, the person that the Democrats, instead of the House Judiciary Committee, which has spent a full week on this, that's not who's been in charge. The person they put in charge was the person that got caught with the whistleblower. Have you spoken directly with the whistleblower? No, we have not. We'd like to. That wasn't true.
So here's the question. Are the American people, I mean, it's going to go to the Senate, and you know what's happening there. I mean, this is not going to result, Harry, in a conviction of the president of the United States and removal from office.
I think that's correct. And I think it's very, very interesting to see the Democrats shrink back from concrete articles of impeachment. And instead, they are offering what might be charitably called amorphous impeachment charges, which are not grounded in the Constitution, not grounded in statutory law, not grounded in criminal law, not grounded in Anglo-American jurisprudence. So it is simply made up out of whole cloth. And I think Representative Radcliffe, I think, explains why the Democrats got caught creating a fictional narrative, and their chief accuser, the whistleblower, actually misstated the phone call. Why do we know that? Because the transcript was released. And so I think this whole narrative is based on fiction, which goes back to the whistleblower who's unreliable.
No president has been removed from office who was impeached by the House. The Senate's always acquitted them. But as the Wall Street Journal notes, at least Johnson was impeached for violating a specific statute, the Tenure of Office Act,
right.
when he fired the Secretary of War, Stanton, which, by the way, was a setup, which is why he got acquitted in the Senate.
Right.
But there was a statute there that he violated. Bill Clinton, again, violated criminal statutes like lying under oath. And again, that would be obstruction of justice. You didn't need other. They said, like, why didn't we have more fact witnesses with Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton. So we all saw the video. He lied under oath. He lied under oath. That's all you needed for the crime. They said so. And even with Richard Nixon, there was wide agreement that there was some criminal statutes violated there. He didn't even go that far. He resigned before a vote would be taken in the House. But in this case, Democrats don't even try to allege a criminal act. Thus, they can't connect to the American people. They can make that case. I mean, I know it's true that under the Constitution, they can basically impeach for whatever reason, right, if they've got the votes. But the Senate, the founders made it very difficult to do that because the Senate, two-thirds majority. So to get the American people on board, though you don't have to point to a specific like criminal statute violated, what the Wall Street Journal is saying is that if you don't point to one, you're certainly not going to get the American people on board, because even when you could in the past, the presidents were acquitted.
Yeah, well, no, that's the fact. All right, we're taking a break. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We are on the 12th day of the month, so we've got just about, 20 days, a little less to go. And I would encourage you to support our work. We're in a matching challenge campaign. These are the month. This is the weeks and days that count. ACLJ.org for that, ACLJ.org. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, let me encourage you, we have a very special video coming up. You need to watch this. So share this with your friends. Really important that you do this. Share this feed with your friends right now. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
The incredible shrinking impeachment. That's it? That's all there is? All that talk that you've heard of obstruction of justice, collusion, conspiracy with Russia, bribery, extortion, profiting from the presidency, and there was more. House Democrats reduced their articles of impeachment against President Trump to two. Abuse of power, which would then apply to basically every president dealing with foreign policy, because they always are asking in their dealings with foreign policy for something that will benefit the United States. And in the call, he says, us, not me, us, America, the people, the United States, the country. I mean, that's how foreign policy is conducted. You know, hey, we want to do this for you. Can you do this for us? Not me, Donald Trump, us, the government, the United States of America, the people, the American people. We've been through a lot, which we did go through a lot. We were put through a lot. All of us on both sides of the aisle have been put through a lot. I mean, I read the articles. The left, the hard left of the Democrat Party is very upset about this because, you know, they were told by Adam Schiff and others that they were going to come with real charges, with real crimes of that the president's committed. And instead, they came up with these weak articles. And that's that to the radical left has said, well, then why was Adam Schiff telling us this? Why was Adam Schiff saying, I do have evidence of collusion between the Trump, between President Trump and Russia, and then Adam Schiff saying bribery, and then that doesn't end up. And it, by the way, it was reported that it was Adam Schiff who said, "Don't put anything about Mueller in the articles of impeachment," even though he was the guy who said, even after Mueller said there was no collusion or conspiracy, that they still he had evidence of that. I mean, Than, the left is, I mean, they see as the Wall Street Journal says, honey, we shrunk the impeachment. I mean, they must be feeling that way, that it, all the things they heard from their party leadership, none of them panned out.
Well, think about it this way, Jordan. Of all of the things that they've thrown against the wall, the one you just mentioned, the Mueller report, the Russia investigation, that is the one that it was allowed to carry out to its natural end. Jordan, that's the one they're not including. So, look, I mean, I think there's a feeling among their caucus that if they let this investigation carry through to its natural course, if they let the court cases of this dispute of the president's witnesses and the others carry to the end, maybe they would get the same result they did in the Mueller report, which is nothing they can include in these articles, so they have to move forward. But look, I would just circle back to the political point you made, Jordan. The left might be upset at this, but what part of their party, what part of their caucus are the ones they are forcing to walk the plank? It's the ones who, if they take this vote, they're likely to lose their seats in November. So the radical left might be steering this ship, but the people it's pushing off of the political ledge, to so to speak, are those who would be most inclined to vote against the
impeachment. You know, I think the interesting constitutional issue here, I mean, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever you might be, is that articles of impeachment, which is a very drastic measure, and that's why in the Senate there's a requirement for 67 votes, two-thirds, so it's not a majority. Are significant. And you look at the way that these articles have been crafted, the abuse of power and the obstruction of Congress. And I focus on the obstruction of Congress because what concerns me as a constitutional lawyer is this idea that if you exercise a constitutional privilege as president, executive privilege, immunity grant, that somehow you're now obstructing Congress when the Constitution and the Supreme Court precedents had laid out your ability to do this. And it's being challenged in the courts, which is fine. That's where it should be challenged. That's where the courts do these challenges. But I think you've got to be realistic when that happens, that if you are having a challenge in court, to convert that into an impeachable offense, Harry, forget the partisan politics, from a pure policy standpoint, to take the rights that you would assert that are serious, no matter what side you're on, these are serious constitutional rights, and then say if you exercise those, we're going to say that's an obstruction of Congress.
I think we are at a dangerous moment in our history, and I think the president will ultimately prevail here, but many Democrats do not really care about the courts. They do not care about the Constitution. They have blind loyalty to one thing, and that is the pursuit of power. So many of the Democrats, particularly in the leadership and particularly in the left-wing base, have been educated at highly progressive institutions whose main purpose in life is to receive federal funding while tearing down the United States Constitution. So now the Democrats talk about their blind loyalty to the Constitution and to history. This is simply a useful tactic. They don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in what might be called living constitutionalism, which means an evolving Constitution, which takes us back to the horrible days of Woodrow Wilson and takes us back to FDR and others who really had disdain for the Constitution when it prevented them from doing what they want. So the Democrats, who are propelled by their hatred of individuals who live in so-called flyover country, really have exhibited disdain for the Constitution historically, but they now have reclaimed support for or reverence for the Constitution when it makes political sense.
But here's where the constitutional issue is so absurd. I'm going to play Eric Swalwell's statement, the congressman, because this is when it's a complete, and again, put all your partisan politics aside. I want you to listen to what he's saying.
All of these conversations about statutory crimes are moot because the President of the United States refuses to allow his own Department of Justice to indict him.
What? Well, I mean, what? First of all, indict him for what? Let's take the Mueller report at face value. They said no Russian conspiracy collusion. And they could not draw a obstruct. They said they could not come to a conclusion on obstruction. The Department of Justice actually did and said there was not evidence to support an obstruction of justice charge. Notice what's not in this articles of impeachment. References to the Mueller report. Nothing. Supposedly they're going to issue some like side report or something, but I mean, that's not part of the articles of impeachment. So they've proven the point themselves here, Jordan. I mean, this is what the problem is.
Oh, this is so bizarre. The Department of Justice is going to indict the sitting president of the United States when they have a longstanding policy that the president can't be indicted. Congress has that sole power of impeachment. It's your job, Congress. I think it's Eric Swalwell getting nervous, too. These are these folks who have supported impeachment, starting to see that these moderate Democrats are huddling together saying, why won't you just let us do a censure vote? At least then he won't get away with being able to say he was acquitted by the Senate. He'll be censured. That sounds pretty serious, but yet not serious enough to turn off our voters. And yet I hear that from Eric Swalwell, and I hear him saying basically they are nervous.
I think, Dan, you raised a good point, and we only got a minute here, and we'll talk about it after the break. But this is especially so, you said, after the DOJ actions and regarding the IG report, and we haven't even gotten into some of the afternoon testimony on that.
Congressman Swalwell must not be into paying attention to what the early phases of the so-called Trump DOJ, which was, of course, holdovers from the last administration, how they acted. Is that the DOJ, he says, won't indict this president? Look, he's just saying they won't do what I want them to do, and so the law doesn't matter. That's a ridiculous claim.
Folks, remember, second half hour coming up. December is a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate, we have a group of donors that will match every donation that comes through. You double the impact of your donation right now. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate now. ACLJ.org. It's how we keep this broadcast on the air as well. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
We're calling this the incredible, the Wall Street Journal calls it the incredible shrinking impeachment. The Washington Post says House Democrats brace for some defections among moderates on impeachment of the president. They're saying it could be anywhere from 6 to more. We're hearing reports of 12. If that in fact happens, you got to put it into a context. And here's the context I want you to put it into. Here's what Jerry Nadler said about, you're 11 months out from an election here for president of the United States, less than 11 months now. Take a listen.
We cannot rely on an election to solve our problems when the president threatens the very integrity of that election.
So I'm trying to think, what is he talking about? The Russia collusion narrative, that whole election interference thing proved to be zero. I mean, zero. Nothing.
Nothing. I think that they keep getting confused with all of this.
And that's not even part of the impeachment.
I mean, no, it's not. I mean, if they really thought that was the problem here with the impeachment was that the national security of our election process, the integrity of our election. Remember, in the articles of impeachment, they call the president a threat to our national security. I mean, that is just so absurd. That's under the, I think, abuse of power section. The generic abuse of power, which says the Wall Street Journal says you could stuff anything you wanted to into that kind of a phrase. But to now say that the very integrity of that election, except for that's what the Mueller investigation was about. And I'm sorry, but just because you run for president, as Joe Biden is doing now, because you were a former high-level official whose son was involved with some of this corrupt activity in this past, you're not immune from investigation. You're not immune from the U.S., which has the treaty with Ukraine, saying to look into it. I mean, I'm sorry. You may not like that, folks, but it's just the truth. You're not above the law because you're running for president. You know, they keep saying the president's not above the law. How about Joe Biden is not above the law? He is not above the law just because he declares, I'm running for president of the United States. Neither is his son.
So here's Representative Susie Lee, centrist who hails from a GOP-leaning Nevada district, says, I'm still thinking it over. This is a very grave decision. I'm hearing all sides of it. It's mixed. It's very mixed. Harry?
Well, I think she does well to think it over and actually to vote on the basis of the facts. And there are no facts in support of this whole impeachment effort. And I think she should also do well to listen to Jerry Nadler's former statements suggesting that you shouldn't impeach the president unless there's a bipartisan consensus and the evidence is overwhelming, as opposed to listening to the new Jerry Nadler. The new Jerry Nadler is often confused, but he's rarely in doubt. But his statement that the president is a threat to our elections makes no sense. There's no evidence that the president is a threat to our elections. I think Nadler is confused. I think you could argue, based on past history and the IG's report, that the FBI, in collusion with the DNC, perhaps they were a threat to our elections, but not President Trump.
You know, it's interesting to me, Than, I can't remember which congressman said it yesterday, but one of the congressmen last night said, it's not up to our constituents to vote on impeachment. It's up to us. I don't know if we have that. I'm sure we don't have that bite. It was lost. It was like probably 10 o'clock at night. But I thought that was a rather ironic statement, considering they're elected by their constituents to represent the constituents, not their own personal agenda.
Well, and are going to have to face them again in 11 months. I mean, look, you referenced Susie Lee a moment ago. She's one of the 31, Jay, that's going to have to go to a district that put Donald Trump in the White House, supported Donald Trump, and then explain her vote on impeachment. Jordan mentioned that language about national security. Here's the other ironic thing. People like Susie Lee, they're going to have to go to the floor and vote on impeachment. And in the same week, for a president that is somehow a national security threat, they're going to have to vote to support the president's signature foreign policy initiative. That'll be a tricky political dance.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you this also, folks. We're in a matching challenge campaign, and we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that by simply going over to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Of course, tax deductible, ACLJ.org. And if you're not engaged with us on social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, I encourage you to do that. At Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. Stay engaged. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Okay, Secular Live. So we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. As it appears, of course, that these articles, at least these two articles of impeachment, the abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, as absurd as that is, will be voted out of the House Judiciary Committee later today. Then they'll hit the floor of the House of Representatives. There'll be, you know, a discussion. How long, Than, before we get to the phones, take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This gets voted out of, let's see, assume it gets voted out of committee tonight. It's Thursday. When does this start up in the House, and how long does it take?
It really depends on a few things, Jordan. They have to report a rule out of the Rules Committee to govern debate, but I actually think the bigger things that will impact it is when the USMCA trade agreement is ready for a House floor vote and when the spending bill is negotiated. They can do those things in any order, Jordan, so we don't know exactly what day next week it will be up. But interestingly enough, I actually think your question harkens back to the point you made about Nancy Pelosi whipping this. I think she's not whipping it publicly because she doesn't know if she has the votes. But, Jordan, if it becomes a real thing that she thinks that she might fall beneath the 216 you need, I think she would put it on the floor early in the week before that slippage goes below her majority level. So if it gets posted early, that would be another sign that the vote would be very close.
Once it is posted, how long do you think it takes? How many, is it days? Is it 2 days? Is it 1 day?
Once it gets posted and announced for a floor vote?
Yeah.
I think you would get a notice about a floor vote 2 days in advance of the vote. So if you got a notice on Monday, I think you would see a vote on Wednesday.
Will there be like amendments and anything that'll be allowed to be offered at that point or any discussions?
Yeah, very unlikely. Technically, that's up to the Rules Committee. They would meet to report a rule for a rule consideration, so but I would fully expect a closed rule. You would see a rule that
vote.
Would not allow Republicans to amend. Yeah.
Yeah, so just a straight-up vote. It wouldn't allow Democrats who are more to the left to amend either. I mean, so it could upset some of them as well, and the moderates as well. So, again, I just wanted to keep people updated. So it could happen. It could get to the full House early next week. It could be later because it could be right on that. You know, as they're prepared to go right up until Christmas – because of the deals that they're doing that are good deals the president is willing to work with the Democrats on, like the USMCA and the funding the government. Let's go right to the phones. Chris in Kansas online too. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, hi, there. Hi, I agree, Chris. With you. The Dems don't have any facts or real charges. They know they don't have any facts or real charges. They know their only move is to repeat negative talking points as much as possible to change the results of an election, because if you hear it enough times, it must be true.
Well, here's the reality: is what they are saying in their hearings are not reflected actually in the articles of impeachment. So when they talk about all these crimes and you know, illegal conduct, and yet you look at the articles of impeachment, it's not there. Matt Gaetz from Florida addressed that. Take a listen.
This debate just lacks a certain sincerity. I heard earlier my friend from California, Mr. Swalwell, say, like, list out all these crimes. And so if I'm watching at home, I'm thinking, well, where are they in the impeachment? That is just a Democrat drive-by to go and list crimes that you don't allege and that you don't have evidence for. If there is ever a microcosm of how to consume this day and the importance of it with the American people, it's that they're naming crimes in debate that they don't even have in their impeachment resolution because they can't prove them because there are no underlying facts.
So, Harry, from a policy perspective, again, if you look at the two articles that they put forward, the abuse of power, as you said, is amorphous. You don't even know what that really means. And then the obstruction of Congress is constitutionally wrong. I mean, it's just plain wrong.
Absolutely. So if we take the abuse of Congress claim first, I think it's important to realize that Congress, in this particular instance, has not exercised all of its constitutional rights. So if, for instance, it disagrees with the decision taken by the executive branch with respect to a privilege, executive privilege, then it can go to the third branch of government. Go before an Article III judge.
Which is what's happening right now.
And then ask the judge to enforce, let's say, the demand for testimony or a subpoena or whatever. But the Democrats are now saying, we don't have time. Indeed, the Democrats are saying that if the president doesn't obey a subpoena without a court order, then the president is abusing Congress. This is nonsense.
Well, the whole idea that, you know, we're going to charge obstruction of Congress then because we don't have time to let the courts decide, which is exactly how the Constitution is actually structured, so that if a challenge is made on a constitutional point, which clearly this is, and then it's raised in a court, and they're saying, well, we're just out of time, so we're not going to charge the president with obstruction of Congress. It just seems odd.
Well, and we're not the ones attaching that excuse to the Democrats leading this process. I mean, if you watch the press conference that Chairman Schiff gave, he actually walked through this step by step, Jay. He said, we've been in court for 8 months in this case trying to get a witness. We've got another series of cases lined up. And if we are going to have to, you know, bump these up, and, you know, that means appeal. If we're going to have to actually carry this process to the end, it's just simply going to take too long. I think, Jay, if he didn't use these exact words, it was something very close to it. He said, we are simply not willing to wait. Well, guess what, Jay? In the United States, both sides have an opportunity to present their case, and the other side has to wait.
Well, you know, not willing to wait. There's an election in 10 and a half months, 11 months. I mean, less than 11 months. There's an election. So they're circumventing the entire electoral. You know who's interfering with an election? This whole process. Now, again, I want to just argue the law here. I mean, this is, you understand something. If I challenge a right, someone's handing out religious literature, and the government comes in and says stop, and I go in and say I'm going to challenge this as their lawyer on First Amendment grounds to say that you have a constitutional right to exercise in a public forum the right to hand out literature, religious literature, political literature, whatever. I've argued those cases at the Supreme Court. Could the DA then say, well, now we're going to charge you with obstruction of justice because you've challenged our law? And the answer to that has to be no, because you can't penalize the action of seeking to enforce a constitutional right with an unconstitutional penalty. And there's an actual doctrine of law on this. And that's what's so missing in this entire argument.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it's interesting to me when you look at, for instance, the obstruction of Congress. There is a statute. There is a law on obstruction of Congress. That's a crime. But they don't cite that statute in their articles of impeachment because it requires you to prove elements of that crime. And elements of that crime include a corrupt intent. They also include an actual obstruction of Congress. And a court is not going to conclude that asserting your executive privilege rights and then a court determining that is an obstruction of Congress. So they wouldn't use the actual criminal statute for obstruction of Congress, which does exist.
Right.
They just put in a generic one.
Exactly. This is what Professor Turley said about this under oath.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
Yeah, and it's and Tham points this out, and it is true. Notice what's not in there. Obstruction of justice, both from the Mueller probe and as it relates to this. So instead it's this obstruction of Congress statute. But this idea that you exercise the constitutional right and then you're penalized for it, it reeks of complete impropriety. Now, Tham, you went through a timing standpoint, so you're looking probably at a vote next Wednesday, Thursday, is what it sounds like to me.
I think so. I think Thursday would probably be the best bet. I mean, I think it could slide forward or back depending on where the votes are, Jay, and when the other two items they have to pass next year.
Then, if six Democrats peel off or 10, you want to do the math easy, where does that make – what does the vote come down then? What does the vote actually look like?
Well, there are 233 Democrats and one independent that is expected to vote for impeachment. So that's 234, Jay. So, you know, to use a round number, if there were 10 defections, that would mean there were 224 votes. You need 216. So that means your margin of error is 8. And, Jay, the thing that gets very...
Folks, an 8 could potentially be a margin of error of 8 to impeach a sitting president of the United States who was duly elected. Go ahead, Tham. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem at all. That's why I think the decision by Speaker Pelosi to not whip this is so telling. And let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that those people are not getting pressure behind the scenes. In fact, it means exactly the opposite. She knows if she whipped it, she would come up short because there's 20 or 30 Democrats who would whip no on this, Jay. But she knows that if she doesn't get their commitment in, she can probably pressure them behind the scenes to get the vote she needs. But that will very likely, Jay, and I think this is true, that will very likely mean they are not a part of the next Congress because the American people won't send them back.
Folks, we come back. We take your phone calls. Final segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Donna and Chris, hang on the line. Got a few lines now open for you, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the impact will be on the Democrat Party, including their presidential candidate, whoever they decide to choose, if they move forward with this impeachment in the House on the thinnest of margins? What do you think the impact will be? What are you hearing from your friends? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Call us to be part of that last segment of the broadcast. And remember our matching challenge. Donate to the ACLJ in the month of December. You double the impact of your donation. Donate today at ACLJ.org. It's how we do the work we do. It's how we bring you the broadcast. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
We just played a very dire video. Team, by the way, did a great job. That was a great video that our team put together. We should almost think about playing that one. But let's go ahead. We're going to take some phone calls, but I may play that video. I mean, it gives you kind of an update.
I love it. I saw Andy McCabe last night on Andrew McCabe with Chris Cuomo, and he said, "Yo, people make mistakes." That's his defense now. And even mistakes, Chris Cuomo said, "But I mean, these are serious mistakes, right? I mean, are you lawyers? Aren't you professionals? I mean, you know, this is like
Chris was pretty tough on
but you know, people make mistakes. Well, what about the guy who, you know, doctored evidence? Oh, that's a different matter. If that proves to be true, that's a different matter.
Yeah,
the guy who was also, by the way, on the Mueller team.
Yeah.
And removed from the Mueller team.
Don't ever forget that.
The guy who doctored the evidence to get the FISA warrant, then got put on the Mueller team, then got removed from the Mueller team because the Inspector General, Horowitz, told Mueller, like Strzok, he has a personal animus against President Trump. That means a hatred of President Trump.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take calls. Let's go to line one first.
Yep, Don in Idaho, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I'm just concerned, where do we go from here? Do you think that the impeachment will go to the Senate and there's a good chance
if they pass articles of impeachment, they don't get to convict or acquit the House. They can just pass articles. They will then, the managers will be appointed. There's already jockeying for who's going to be the managers. They will then march it over to the Senate. There will be a hearing. And Lindsey Graham's talked about that hearing. Let me play it for you.
So here's what's going to happen. I hope we'll look at the record they used to impeach the president. If they get 218 votes, that will be the trial record. Let the House managers present their case. Let the president's lawyers comment on the House case, then vote. I don't have any desire to call the vice president. I don't have any desire to call Pompeo, Hunter Biden, or Joe Biden. We can look at the Biden affair outside of impeachment. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country, because I think it's a danger to the presidency to legitimize this.
All right. I mean, a danger to the presidency to legitimize this. And of course, Than, you've got, and Harry, you've got in the articles, which will likely pass through the Judiciary Committee and probably the House. I mean, it looks like they're losing votes to the Democrats, but it probably will pass. They're calling our president a threat to our national security. I mean, that is, again, to me, so offensive as an American to call our president, Than, and we'll get right to the phone calls, a threat, not even to the elections, to our national security.
Threat to the national security, and then immediately following the press conference announcing that, they ran over to another press conference to announce that they were supporting his USMCA trade deal. So that's very bizarre. But Jordan, just quickly, I would tell you that when it gets to the United States Senate, it's also going to be bipartisan opposition, because while a lot of people have talked about Joe Manchin, can you imagine a Doug Jones who's on the ballot in 2020 voting for impeachment of the president? I will almost guarantee you right now, Doug Jones is not going to support impeachment in the United States Senate.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Nevada, line two. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. What is abundantly clear, since the Democrats will lie to get in power, they will lie once in power. Look at President Obama, and that's frightening to me.
Well, listen. They can whatever power you're trying to, like, you know, you go for this, say, this perpetual impeachment. Listen, they have said they will keep going with this. We have Congressman Green and Harry, we've heard from Congressman Schiff as well. So someone not is outside the mainstream of the Democrat Party, say they're going to continue their investigation. So as long as they're in power in the House, they're going to continue to go after the president even after he's reelected. And if they were to take the Senate and the president was reelected, certainly they're going to keep going.
Absolutely. And a number of Democrats are on record saying that if the president is reelected, they will continue this impeachment effort. It's driven by two things. First, hatred of President Trump, and so it's part of their resistance effort. And secondly, hatred of Trump voters.
This is how the Horowitz hearing ended yesterday. And I think it's so important for you as the Inspector General, because it cuts through what the media narrative, like, oh, see, everybody's cleared at the FBI. Everybody's exonerated. Not really. Take a listen.
You said earlier when it came to political bias, when you move to the FISA warrants, things get murkier. I believe that was the word you used. Is that correct?
Correct.
Because, you know, you can open an investigation. I say this as a former law enforcement official myself. You can open an investigation pretty easily. You've testified today that it can be done quite easily. But when you actually start taking action, start taking steps, start gathering evidence, start surveilling Americans, that's when actually real questions arise. And your testimony today has been, and in this report, is that when that happened, there's potential concerns here about political bias. Is that correct?
We have actions taken here that were not consistent with the rules, the practices, the policies, and what we couldn't reach a conclusion on is what motivated that.
Are you aware ever of another presidential campaign being targeted by the FBI during the campaign like the Trump one was, to your knowledge? Has this ever happened?
To my knowledge, but I wouldn't suggest I'm an expert on.
But to your knowledge, no.
You're not aware of anything like this.
So, and I'm correct in thinking that the Steele dossier, the Fusion GPS dossier, was solicited by and paid for the DNC. I mean, that's correct based on what
Or the Clinton campaign or the DNC, it was ultimately learned by the FBI that that was the case, or that came to be their belief.
And then, so we get the Steele dossier. It's fed to the FBI. The FBI goes and asks for these FISA warrants, which have all of the problems that you have articulated and that my colleagues have drawn out, including sometimes outright fabrication of evidence in these FISA applications. And then not only does the FBI get a surveillance program ongoing, effectively of a presidential campaign during cycle, but they also get, the DNC also gets, news stories written during the campaign about the surveillance program.
This is not routine. Do you agree with that?
It is definitely not. It certainly better not be routine, and I don't know any reason to think it is routine.
Is it kind of off the charts bad?
It's pretty bad.
All right, folks, let me just encourage you right now. This is unfolding. You know, we know that later on today, unless something bizarre happened, that the House Judiciary Committee will vote out these two articles of impeachment against President Trump. We know that sometime next week, the House will take this up on a full vote. And they will likely not have any kind of amendments offered. The rules will just say it's a vote, yes or no. And as Than said, it's likely the timing will be earlier next week if they feel like they're starting to lose votes, you know, because of the pressure from moderates. Or it could be after they pass things like the great new trade deal with Mexico and Canada, which was the president's idea to redo NAFTA that Democrats are supporting. And the budget, of course, to fund the government. And then it could be later in the week. And then it's just a vote. I mean, so it's a day, you know, it's a vote, impeach or not. And so that is what we're looking at as we move forward and what we expect. These articles will be voted out, House action on the full floor as early as next, you know, like Monday, Tuesday, but could be later in the week, right up until Christmas even, depending on where those votes look like they're going for the Democrats. I just want to encourage you right now, to support the work of the ACLJ. We've got a lot going on. This is not just to get us ready for January. We've got a lot of cases going on right now. A lot of people contacting us right now about the holiday displays, Christmas displays, those kind of legal issues coming to light. We need your support at the ACLJ financially, and you can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. Donate today at ACLJ. And don't forget, it's how we're able to do this radio broadcast too, with all these experts. ACLJ.org. Make your donation.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at ACLJ.org.